This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar.
Welcome to Sound the Shofar with Watchman and Tower
Network.
Tonight on the show, Long Church, came to redeem us from our sins, fulfilled Yom Kippur. He is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek and is the atoning sacrifice. Thank you for more on this later. It is Friday, the 22nd day of September. We're glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warren Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 52, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 through 51, and the New Testament portion is John chapter 20, verses 1 through 31. Check out the recommended reading on our sites at warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Trumpets 2017 and the High Holy Days. They lead to Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah means first of the year and begins at sundown the day before the start of Tishri 1. The feast is the beginning of the year. It has a special festive meal similar to the Friday evening Shabbat meal. Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles for all nations. Tabernacles, or Sukkot, is one of the three pilgrim feasts. It represents a time of restored fellowship with God through Yeshua. Yeshua, Jesus Christ, is our high priest, and now we have access through him to the heavenly temple of God. And there's a short video from our friends at Moaz Israel on Sukkot. And you can get those at warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Prophecy, the Feast, and the Word of God. All combined to bring you shadows of things to come. It is here that we follow and understand the mysterious biblical events which approach. We have seen this in action from the 2014-2015 blood moons. And then we saw the Great American Summer Eclipse. So be sure to check out those articles at warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Follow Warren Radio and The Watchman on Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, Vimeo, Blog Talk, and on Twitter. You can get the latest updates on the WIBR Warren Radio events, shows, and more. To follow us on Twitter, go to hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag Warren Radio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Good. I'm tired, but it's good to be here.
Yeah, Friday night. We just got done with rain. We got snow coming into Wyoming again. Go figure. Well, you know, I seen something yesterday, or maybe it was earlier today. And they were talking that the snow came into California in the Sierras a month early. And
really?
Yeah, see, last year they got inundated in snow. And in this article, it's talking about some of the places that got 40 feet. It kind of sounds like up on top in Jackson, you know, can get a lot.
Yeah.
But at any rate, this year, you know, we noticed the critters around here. You know, getting ready for winter already, which was kind of early. And so it, you know, now with the way it's been hitting, it looks like this thing is ramping up a little earlier than what we wanted it to. And so it isn't getting real bad, you know, but it's definitely getting chilly. We're hovering around freezing. And of course, that don't do much for gardens, and we're getting ready to pull everything. And so we got rain in the forecast, we got snow in the forecast, we got possible freezing, and there will be freezing in some areas, freezing and not in other areas. Definitely has the makings of old man winter. I mean, he ain't here yet, but, you know, his cousin is here, and, you know, he wants to remind you that, guess what, you're not going to be able to enjoy summer forever in this country. Yeah, we know that.
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I decided that my favorite temperature is 69 to about 75 degrees.
Oh, I like 80, 85.
And, you know, I can live with that, but 75 is probably pretty good for me.
80 is as low as I want to go.
But see, when you're coming out of winter, when you get into the 40s, that's warm in Wyoming. 40s is warm. And so, you know, that's not really good. You know, last year I had spinach clear till January, and it got really cold.
I thought it was December.
No.
December.
No, it was January. I mean, I cut it in December, some of it, but I put the straw back up on top of it in January. It was underneath there, and it was green and still growing.
That's crazy. I don't think we're going to have that kind of fortune this year. It's not going to do that.
Of course, it was under a foot of straw, too.
Yeah.
And I think there was a foot of snow on top of that, so who knows?
Oh, I don't know.
At any rate.
It was a rough winter last year, and I don't want another one. Not two in a row. Are you there?
Yeah, I was doing a bit of thinking. Don't think, Watchman. Yeah, well, sometimes you engage the thinking process and the mouth stops. That's really what you want, you know. You don't want, of course, it goes the other way with a lot of people. They engage the mouth without engaging the brain.
Yeah,
kind of sounds
true.
Like a lot of people in the news I've read lately. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been reading for 6 months or maybe a year.
Yes.
At any rate, we are here. It is Friday night, and we're heading into the weekend, a big weekend full of snow in places. We're not going to get a lot of snow here, but there is places. Last weekend, they got it up in the mountains. They're going to get it again this weekend. Of course, this is hunting season, and, of course, two big storms like this on the weekend in hunting season, that's really quite a bit. You know, you don't want to be up there in the mountains hunting when you get blizzards, because you can't get out. Some of those areas that you get in to go elk hunting and stuff, I mean, I know of guys that went up there to go hunting and the snows hit and they couldn't get their units out or anything, so they had to four-wheel it out. The rest of them stayed there till spring because they couldn't get them out.
Good grief.
Yeah. That happens. And these are like the big camps, you know. You have people that are licensed guides and stuff, and, you know, they get everything up in there. You know, it takes a lot to do that. And then when it does that, well, you can't get them out.
No.
Not at all. At any rate, sorry about that. I got a problem.
What's wrong?
Oh, just had technical difficulties. But I got it taken care of. So, you know, we do have technical difficulties every once in a while around here.
Yep.
Not a lot. But that had nothing to do with the equipment, but was still technically a difficulty. So at any rate, we are heading down. We're going to be in October. Oh, man, I don't even look forward to October. And they got November. Now, the thing I like about November is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And the thing I like about December, well, of course, you have the colored lights. I mean, if you celebrate Christmas. And you have the Hanukkah, if you celebrate Hanukkah. We do light the Hanukkah lights around here. And I've actually, in teaching about the Antichrist, we actually get into Hanukkah. Because we pattern him after what's written about Antiochus Epiphanes, and this is what the Lord referred to in the Gospels when he was talking about the abomination of desolation. Let's see, what else is going on? I haven't read the news today. I've been so busy. We've been working on a lot of stuff on the webs and things like that. If you're into checking out new websites, get to, let's see if I can remember, gethealthyyoungliving.com. 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 Check it out. It's a new site I just put up. And, yep. That's what it means, get healthy young living. So it'll explain it. There's, you know, and we'll explain this as we go a little bit more. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that our food supply, a lot of it is contaminated, whether you believe it or not. And so... guess what? I found my buddy.
You did?
I got him.
Oh, good job.
This is code word, folks. Don't try to figure it out. Yes, sirree, man, I'll tell you. Being winter, the critters are all looking for places to hide. All the bugs are looking for places to hide. All the wasps are getting their nests ready for winter. I mean, everybody's just like, it's coming, it's coming, hurry up, hurry up, you know. We got squirrels around here. They're getting ready. The geese were flying around. And we have a whole bunch of geese that stick around here all winter. And we're right not far from the river. And they really load up over on the river. And let's see, we've had raccoons down here. They wander down here.
Turkeys, we've had turkeys.
Yeah, turkeys are real common around here.
And the geese,
deer,
of course.
Skunks, you know, all kinds of wild birds. And then there's trophy fishing in the river. Let's see. So at any rate, I've even have a story of an elk wandering down here. That's what our
we do.
Yeah, yeah. That happened. I don't know how long ago that happened, but we got a lot of things going on around here. The rest of the world, Kim Jong-un, he's still a pain in the butt. You know,
oh my goodness, he threatened the president today. I mean, he did. He threatened the president today.
Yeah, well, he threatens everybody.
He said terrible things about our president.
Well, see, the thing of it is that he can do that because he knows nobody's going to do nothing. And so he's pretty much his own pain in the butt, you know. He doesn't answer to nobody, so he can't blame anybody but himself. You know, it's not like daddy's looking over him saying, you need to say this or that or something. And he's killed most of the rest of his family and others that... I mean, he's a true dictator in all sense of the word. He's a murderous, you know what, and a pain in the butt.
Don't want to be his best friend.
Well, you know, the problem of it is, even if you did overthrow Kim Jong-un, you'd have to literally... re-educate all of North Korea. Because they're so used to that kind of a dictator and lifestyle that they'd be lost. Matter of fact, there'd probably be a bunch of them in anguish because they look upon him as a god, you know, the dear leader, they call him. You know, he's close to God. He's anointed to be that way, you know, so that's what they look at. Even if they're starving, you know, they got a whole bunch of them that starved over the years as their dear leaders, you know, ran things.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's a lot of things going on between that and Iran and a bunch of others. We covered a lot of that on our three-hour program yesterday, Warren Radio, the Prophecy News, in the first hour. And then, of course, we did the second and third hours, and we covered tabernacles in those. We do have some other articles and things on some of the feasts and things over on our websites. Be sure to go on over to warren-usa.com, and you can find everything over there. And we have a lot of stuff. We have, so just check her out, you know. And, of course, we're on Facebook and a lot of other things. And just too many to mention. You know, there's some of them we, you know, we're on Tumblr. And, oh, man. A lot of them. And so we'll just have to see. You know, we're going to be doing Yom Kippur next week. We're teaching on it tonight. But then we're going to be into Tabernacles or Sukkot. And so we're kind of watching these feasts because we were talking yesterday about this economic thing that everybody sees every 7 years. And it falls every 7th September. And this is the 7th year, you know, September, 7 years later since the last one. And they say, a lot of the guys that watch it say that the economy corrects itself every 7 years.
Huh.
I find
now
that
it's only got, we talked about this last night, now it only has 8 more days to correct itself if it's going to be in September.
Yeah, well, and when they say 8 more, I mean, they mean a drop in the stock market.
Right.
You know, so, I don't know. If it drops, it drops. If it don't, it don't. I remember when that so-called Black Monday occurred, and that was on one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was people that lost a lot of money in that. But see,
oh, I know.
You know, I don't have to worry. I don't have any money in the stock market to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, basically, you know, you just have to watch and see what this thing's going to do. You know, we're in that day and age where things happen. I mean, and so, you know, actually, Trump's little rule of the presidency actually has been pretty good for the stock market. It's did a lot of highs.
Right, it has.
So I don't really know if, you know, I mean, if it doesn't hit, then I don't know if they're looking at it another 7 years from now. But, you know, that doesn't mean it has to wait every 7 years. You know, a correction or a problem could happen any time.
That's true.
You know, you're living, you know, but, you know, in the end times. But the thing of it is, we were talking last night also about all the money that has to go out, not only from the United States, but from others. They have to practically rebuild the Caribbean. And then, of course, you got Florida and you got Texas, hurricane problems, you know, build up and clean up, and that costs money.
And then Mexico.
Yeah, Mexico has a, you know, cleaning up from their earthquake. And then you've got that other one floating around out in the Atlantic. I didn't get any updates on that, so I don't know what.
Who is that? Is that Maria still out there?
Yeah. It was yesterday. I don't know
Dear
where it's
God
at.
God in heaven, have mercy.
I don't know where it's at. Might be over around Scotland by now. I don't know.
Oh, I hope not.
You know.
I just like it to go out to sea and fizzle out.
Well, see, I don't know if it can make it across that harsh. It was heading up north, and once it gets in that northern Atlantic, I don't know exactly what that northern Atlantic will do, you know, because it's a little bit different, because it's not warm water, it's cold water. And see, mm-hmm. these storms from down south need hot water or warm water in order to gain intensity. So I don't know what it'll do. But at any rate, you know, people are... You know, heading in, of course, you got the people that are still, you know, talking about Trump and everything. But basically, I think a lot of it's quieted down. Most of them are into their routine now, and they're still a pain in the butt. And, but they're not going to shut up. They're just going to keep shooting their mouth off. Liberals.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. And, you know, those then in Hollywood and those that are have their late night talk shows, you know, they're, you know, I remember watching Jay Leno a lot, but, you know, at one time I would take in a show every once in a while, and I don't remember seeing him being liberal now.
I don't remember.
And Larry King didn't seem to be that way either, and he worked for CNN. But, boy, I'll tell you, Joe Scarborough and a number of these others that are in there, these guys are as liberal as the day is long, and they're mean and they're nasty.
Too bad.
Of course, if they love you, they're not mean and nasty, but they just, you know, they just got, you know, a hatred for Trump, and it's borderline demonic is what it is. It's just virulent.
Think so. Yeah, I don't listen to them. We're just not interested in their garbage.
No, it's not my kind of stuff. I don't do that. I don't have, you know, cable or the TV anyway, so.
Yeah.
You know, I don't watch it.
Now, I haven't had it for years and years, and I certainly don't miss it.
No, well, you know, Larry King does have a show out there, and I forgot what.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's an independent thing that he's doing on his own. He records, and David, what's his name? He has one, too. A lot of these old talk show hosts, they can't stay away. So they, you know, they're on kind of a their own little production thing where they do it. But there are a number of them that carry some of these, and I can't remember their name. And there is one out of Mexico that, or maybe it's Southern California. I don't know. It's over there somewhere because some of the people have left America. Have put a program on there.
That's interesting.
You know, like the Hulk, you know, what's his name?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, and he became the governor of Minnesota.
Oh, Hulk Hogan? Is that him?
Yeah. But he has one of those programs on there, too. I mean, there, and you can find them online. It's just, it's not my deal, so I don't care. I don't care to listen to Hulk Hogan or any of the others. You know, there's a lot of avenues for people to do that. We of course, do a lot of our stuff over Spreaker, and even on our websites, everything is geared to the mobile phone. And because that's really hot today. Now, I took a look at the new iPhone that came out.
What is this, iPhone 10 or something?
Yeah, iPhone 10, and it's supposed to be over $1,000.
Wow!
But it's a total new. They said it's a revolutionary design. The one I seen was in kind of a really bright metal, you know. They have gold and silver. There was kind of a red tone on this one I was looking at. But I don't know.
That'd be pretty.
Well, they were gorgeous. But the last time I heard, the price is going to be anywhere from over $1,000 to $1,200. So I don't know where the final price is. Yeah, it'll make it, if I'm not mistaken, the most expensive smartphone that there is. Of course.
Not interested. I'm not interested in paying that kind of money for a phone. That's ridiculous.
Well, you see, iPhone is going after the exclusive market. But, you know, I don't know. I think that's getting ridiculous. I mean, you pay for a full computer, you're paying $1,000. But this one has more storage. It has one of the largest chips in it of any phone ever. So it has a lot of upgrades, you know, and the question becomes, how many of these things are you going to do, and how big are you going to make them, and how big is the battery? The question a few years ago is, we didn't have the batteries to be able to put together and take care of what all they wanted to put in it. And the technology didn't exist because there was a point in there where the batteries would get too hot and be able to storage that. There was a problem with them blowing up, like I think it was Samsung found out, or one of them from over there.
Right, it was Samsung.
So, you know, we're really reaching it. You know, I mean, I definitely don't want a phone that when you put to your ear, the stupid thing's going to blow up like a bomb.
No kidding.
So, you know, it's these people got to be very careful how they're doing these things. So I don't know. I mean, you got a lot of power in these things when they put them up. Yeah, but those phones, you know, it looked like an iPhone, but it definitely, they were pretty, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'll stick to mine, thank you.
Well, yeah, ours are okay.
Well, I don't need anything that fancy.
Well, you know, and they're still talking about the Windows phones. There is no Windows phones. There are some of them that pretend to be Windows phones, and they have some old beat-up stuff, but there is no Windows phone. There was supposed to be a Surface phone come out. It should have already come out, but I don't know what Microsoft did on the phone. I don't know. I think they just gave up and went fishing. But we've got the new creators update coming up next month, and everybody's looking forward to that. I always do, because there are some things we're looking forward for them to change in it. But it's quite a deal. Microsoft has made a revolutionary turn in the way that they do business, and that also includes their Outlook and, I mean, their Office package. Which is one of those things. So, at any rate, we are coming down a little bit. We're going to get into our study, but we like to chat a little bit, talk about what's going on, just let you know who you've been listening to, who is Warren Radio. Warren Radio consists of me, the Watchman, and Tower. And we've been doing this for a lot of years. The Warrior was with us years and I don't know, it's been quite a while ago, but now he's busy up at somewhere else. So at any rate, we're glad you join us whenever you do, and I say that because we have a lot of people that join us later. We have people from around the world that listen. We have people in America from all over that listen. You know, they download it and things, and it's always been that way. You know, if you're from if you're listening to this on a smartphone over Spreaker, we're glad you did, and you are. We do have, and we know this from some of the figures, that we do have 54% of the listeners are coming out of iHeartRadio, and 54 point something, and of course the rest of them, we have a lot coming out from our own websites. And they listen to this on there, too, because we have our app installed on that as well. So don't forget, you can get the app for this on Google. go to our website at warren-usa.com. On the front page, you'll find a link, you know, a picture of the app and a link to get the app. Be sure to share. You can download all the shows as you want. And tell your friends about it. This is the WIBR Warren Radio. And we're getting ready to go into our study. Are you, do you got anything you got to do?
Just going to tell them about this.
Okay,
Yom Kippur, Part 1, Redeemed. We will discuss Yom Kippur and the relevant scriptures looking at the present day, the blood moons, and how Yeshua, Jesus Christ, fulfilled the feast. Yom Kippur is time of fasting and the completion of the 10 high holy days from trumpets to Yom Kippur. And now, back to you, Dana. Watchman.
Yes, talking about Yom Kippur. You know, in the old days when we started out, many of the Gentile Christians, you know, they would hear about Yom Kippur, and they didn't really know everything about it. It was kind of one of those obscure holidays or things that the Jews kept that nobody really paid attention to. I didn't really pay attention to it that time. It was a long time ago. And but now, of course, we do look at all of these things. And Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. And, of course, the Lord fulfilled this feast, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But just to give you an idea, in Acts 27:9, it's covering Paul and how he was traveling. And it says, now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. That fast is the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the only biblically mandated fast in the Bible. And this particular one, Paul was talking about this. This was over. It would have been in the seventh month. And so here, it's when the winds and everything, you know, you don't go sailing out. And where he was heading was up to Rome. And so you have a lot of dangerous water, you know, in the wintertime trying to cross. But at any rate, because the fast was now already past, that's talking about Yom Kippur being over. Basically, when we, and we talked about this last night because it all ties in. We talked about the two houses, the house of Israel or Ephraim, and the house of Judah, or which is known as the Jews. Now, see, that's where people today, they'll call all of them Jews. But the Jew, you know, when we talk about Jews, predominantly related to the house of Judah. So you have two houses. And when we, as... look at this from the standpoint of Christians or Messianics, and you keep the feast. You know, Yeshua has already died on the cross. Put your name in the book. And this particular one, when it comes around, you know, a lot of these feasts, especially when we get from the Day of Trumpets to Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is the is where this thing heads. It from the first, which is the Day of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. It's a day of introspection, and it goes through these days from the first until Yom Kippur, and then. Culminates at Yom Kippur. And so the whole time is a time of introspection, examination, repentance, seeking the Lord. Now, the fast that's connected to this, many of the Jews that that would do this actually fast 25 hours. They begin the fast an hour before sundown, and they go until the next night in order to make sure they get it done. But if you have life-threatening conditions, like, some kind of life-threatening condition, or if you're pregnant or something, you don't fast, because there are exceptions to that. It comes with a lot of the other feasts. There is a holy convocation, which is what we're doing now when we study the Word of God, and we come together to do that. A holy convocation. And many of the Jews that do this, they will be in the Word. They will be reading the Word, praying the Word all day, and that's all they're going to do. They'll be praying it and, dedicated to the Lord the whole time. They won't do anything else. And, of course, when you do begin this, you light the candles, and they spend it worshiping the Lord, praying the Scripture. And for the Jews, this is the holiest day of the year. For Christians, our redemption, the day that we met the Lord, that's a holy day. That's a birthday for us. But when we get to the atonement, that's a day that we can be praying, we can be fasting, we can be seeking the Lord, and we can be praying for those who don't know Him. And Yom Kippur, when it's over, they blow the shofar. And a lot of the Jews also wear white, which is a symbol of purity. And, of course, Scripture, Isaiah does talk about, though your sins are red as crimson, they'll be white as snow. So they do wear white, a symbol of purity. And this is what these are traditions that the Jews do. Which is kind of interesting, because we are going to wear white. The Christians, when we read in Revelation, all the way through the New Testament, there's that thing about you don't want to be caught naked, and that is when you stand before the Lord. And so white, the white robes are the symbol of purity in heaven, and that is what they will be wearing. But so it's kind of interesting that the Jews do that. They don't wear leather, and they don't engage in sex. They recite God's name 10 times throughout the day, and they read the 10 commandments. And basically, their goal is to restore their priorities to where they belong. In other words, you can let things slip. Now, Christians should be doing that all the time. We need to be examining, looking at things, and making sure that we get back to where we need to be. And for the Jews, Yom Kippur marks the day the slate is wiped clean and they start over for the next year. And the reason that is because Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, was the very day that the high priest, of course, would have a sacrifice for himself and his priests. And that would sanctify them and cleanse them of their sins, so they could sacrifice not the Passover lamb, but the atoning sacrifice, the sacrifices. And so the Day of Atoning, the atoning sacrifice, was the permanent sacrifice. And Christ was and is, he was that atoning sacrifice to fulfill Yom Kippur. And so, today they look at it, that's the day the slate is wiped clean and they start over. But folks, you don't start over. Only through the blood of Christ can you start over. And the only way they did in the Old Testament is the shedding of blood. The only thing that can start you over, the shedding of blood, is the atonement. And life is in the blood. And God had decided that it would be through the blood that the atonement for the sins of men would be made. Now that is law. And so a lot of them also confess their, you know, that they will go through that and pray. And of course, you can't say enough that, you know, as Christians, it says, if you do sin, you ask the Lord to forgive you. Yeah, and that's right. And why does that work for the Christian? It doesn't work just because you ask. It works because the Lord was the atoning sacrifice, and because his shed blood is that atonement, and you have believed on Christ and that work on the cross and the atonement. And just as Abraham believed, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake, so when Christians or people believe on the Lord Yahshua, Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins, when you believe, God imputes that belief to you in righteousness, and thus you are endowed with righteousness and a covering, and God gives you the power to become the Son of God, and you, because you have received him, you have believed on him. And so, you know, the Jews can seek and they can look, but, you know, forgiveness and the ability to ask God to forgive you, you know, comes through the blood. And while we as Christians, we come to ask him to forgive us, and yeah, he'll forgive you, but do you believe on his son? That's believe in the atonement. And that's really the basis even for the Day of Atonement. And of course the Jews don't see that. They, you know, many of them are blinded, and Scripture says that. And of course the Christians, many of the Christians won't even mess with it because they don't think they need this. And it's not a fact that whether or not we need the, you know, Yom Kippur. It's a fact that it is a dedicated day unto the Lord where we seek him and we fast and we look to him. And so that's, as Christians, that's what we need to be doing. And of course, when you get right down to it, and the whole issue from the first part of Yom Kippur, the first part going back to trumpets to Yom Kippur, it is self-inspection, retrospect, making sure you don't have aught against somebody and somebody doesn't have aught against you. And so that is a very important part of what they do in this. Now, see, the Lord covers this when we get into Matthew chapter 6. It says, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, see, that's one of the keys that the Lord said himself. And so that's the basis of who this God is that if you can't forgive others, God can't forgive you. You must be able to forgive others, period. Verse 16, moreover, when you fast, you're not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, so that they appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say you, they have their reward. You do this between you and the Lord. Verse 17 and 18 tells you to fast. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, you know. In other words, many Americans today, you know, in the morning, they go ahead and take a shower, they wash up, you know, and everything like this. And, you know, you look fresh. And, you know, that's the idea of fasting, is to keep it to yourself between you and God. Verse 18 of that says, the reason that you will, you know, when you fast, you anoint your head, you wash your face. Or, in other words, you don't want to make it open to where they know what you're doing. You don't want them to think, you know, lift you up. You know, because you don't want to lose your reward. You're doing it between you and God. That's the fast. And he says that thou appearest not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which sees you in secret shall reward you openly. And that's the whole key when we talk about fasting. Now, there are corporate fasts, and we do a teaching on fasting. And when you do a corporate fast, that's when everybody's together fasting for a certain thing, fasting and praying for the nation or for the president or for their leaders or something. Maybe they're being threatened. And you would see this in Israel, for instance, when Jerusalem was threatened by armies like, say, from Syria somewhere. They would get together and they would fast and pray. The whole city would. Or like when you look at Nineveh, when they heard the preaching, of Jonah, they all fasted and prayed and God forgave them. So that's a corporate fast. But the Day of Atonement is not a corporate fast. It is an individual fast because we're talking about your sins, not the sins of the nation. We're talking about your sins and your relationship. Now, let's go to Leviticus 23, and this is God's word on Yom Kippur. Verse 26, and we're going down to 32. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement, and it shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls. Now that's the fasting, and offer and offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now see, we don't worry about offerings because the Lord fulfilled all that. Now the Jews, of course, they don't have a temple. They don't have anything to offer an offering, for that matter, like they used to have. But, that's what's required in this. Verse 28, you shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. Now see, that atonement is that the blood sacrifice. And, you know, that shedding of blood out of that animal wasn't a permanent solution. It was just temporary for a year. So from year to year, they would do this. And then month to month, they had other sacrifices and things that they could do. So it was a continual thing, and there was never anything done permanently. Now, except when Yahshua came, when he came and died on the cross. Now, see, this is the whole crux of the gospel, of what we believe, what the Word of God says. And, of course, there's a lot of Jews and others that just don't believe that. And they did their best, though, when the apostles were all teaching it, that, to try to stop the early apostles, try to stop the early church. Of course, they never got it done, but they did cause havoc. And it says, for whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. In other words, whoever doesn't fast. And whatsoever soul that doeth any work in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling. Now, we're talking about a time, this is before Yahshua came, before the atoning sacrifice, before the gospel, he hadn't come yet. And in this law, when the law was broken, that was it. I mean, that was it. There was no second chances. If you got caught, that's it. Now see, the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit gives life. You know, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now see, that's the difference. You had the one covenant, then you had the other covenant that came through Christ. And that's what it is. And it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the 9th month. From even unto evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. So it's the whole thing, and you afflict your souls. Now, it doesn't say how long to afflict your souls. It just says that the whole thing goes from evening till evening, which is a normal fast period. And it begins on the evening of the day before, and it goes the evening of the next day. So that's the day. Actually, the evening and the morning are the first day. Now, let's go into Hebrews 8. And this, Hebrews is really good in this. And this is Hebrews 8, verse 1 through 13. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Now the tabernacle is his body. We are all in him. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Now see, Christ is that high priest. But you see, the high priest that you have on earth is after the Levitical order. The high priest we call Jesus, Yahshua, he is not a Levite in any way, shape, or form. That is because the Levites are after man, and Yahshua is after the order of Melchizedek, who has no beginning and end. In other words, the type here and the prophecy and the truth behind it is he has no beginning and end. He is Alpha and Omega. And so he is seen as Melchizedek, after the order of Melchizedek, as high priest. And so, I mean, he wasn't a Levite, and he couldn't have ministered in that regard. But yet he still knew, he knew the letters, he knew, he taught, and he did miracles. And many times when they saw it, they couldn't believe that he knew all this stuff, and these signs were following him. They were absolutely aghast. And of course, let's go back to this. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. I read that, but I want to get back to it. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who served under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses would have admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. Now, see, according to the law, it was a Levitical priest. For saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. Now, he's talking about the Lord God, who was talking to Moses, making sure that he was to make everything for the tabernacle exactly, and also for the priests to wear exactly as he showed them. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, speaking of Christ, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Now see, this is where we get into. Now see, the law itself, following the law, didn't provide a permanent redemption. It provided for a time, number one, to have a fellowship with God. Number two, a way of forgiveness, so you could have that fellowship. And number three, waiting for the one to come who would become the sacrifice and who would be the atonement, which was Christ. So they looked forward to that. And so, you know, that first covenant was never meant to take away all the sins of all the world. It was never meant to do that. But Christ coming, he was and is that offering. For finding fault with him, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now there's your two houses. Now the house of Judah, southern, the house of Israel, also known as Ephraim, is in the in the northern tribes. The house of Israel was the 10 tribes. The house of Judah was Benjamin and Judah. And then, of course, the Levites were there. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And this is really important, you know, because it is in our hearts. And this is that exactly what we look at when we see Revelation, that he will be our God and we will be his people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. And this will be completed, finished, really will be in the millennium. But even today, a lot of people know of the Christian gospel. And of course, through our technology, everything is going out. But basically, we're looking at a time in the millennium when the Lord rules and reigns in this earth that everybody will know. And of course, that's the time we're looking for. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's through Christ. That's the new covenant. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Now you see, when we talk about the Day of Atonement, you know, and I don't diss the Jews or you know, for what they believe, and certainly don't go there. You know, they keep it, and they're real serious, and a lot of them, when they get over the Wailing Wall and stuff, they will be crying and reading and praying the Word of God. I don't doubt their sincerity, but they're, you know, the bottom line of it is they do not know the Lord. They need the Lord, and they're still operating in the old covenant, and they do not have a temple right now, and they cannot make sacrifices. So, you know, the problem that you have is that they're trying to operate the best way they can because they don't have a temple and they can't do sacrifices right now. And of course, that would be their goal in order to get into the traditional where they had left off at, before they were carried captive, and of course there was the last temple during the time of Titus that was destroyed. So at any rate, the Lord on the cross said it was finished, and that's exactly what that means. We do not have to go through this. And so when we talk about Yom Kippur, we're not making an atonement. You know, the atonement's already been made. But that's what the Day of Atonement is, and that's why the Lord has already fulfilled it. It was finished. The sin offering on Yom Kippur won't ever be offered again. The sin offering was Christ. He's not going to go back to the cross again. It's once and for all. The curtain split at the end of him being crucified, and he opened up the Holy of Holies, which we have access to. The mercy seat, where the priest would pray and put the blood and everything. You know, the Lord is that mercy seat. It is him on that cross, his blood. And he's the one that brought us into the Holy of Holies. He brought us into that place with the Lord. And, of course, the blood of Yeshua is that atoning sacrifice. But even though all of that is going on, we still keep and we look at Yom Kippur. We honor this this day. And if you don't honor it, you know, it's, you know, you're not going to lose your salvation. But, you know, and there's a lot of people, you know, Gentiles that want to do it, and they may not do it right. If you do it from the heart, and you just begin to do stuff, then, you know, you're going to be all right. You do it from the heart to honor the Lord. It's between you and your God. You know, and I've talked about this before. I mean, we talk about doing the feasts. I'm not a Jew. I'm not a Jew. I don't intend to be a Jew. I am who I am. The Lord saved me, and I entered into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Christ, and he's been leading me all these years. And when we get into the feasts, you know, the Jews have a lot of traditions that they do with these things. I don't know all the traditions. Now, I've studied them, and we could do a lot of them, but I don't get hung up on traditions. The Word of God is what you look at. And because the Jews and a lot of their traditions, it's not the Word of God, it's their traditions. It's okay to have tradition. And, you know, and that's where they got in trouble during the time of the Lord. He says, by your traditions of men, you've made the Word of God of none effect. Traditions are okay. We have our own traditions in America. Many Christians like to celebrate other things. You know, they celebrate Christmas and the birth of Christ. And, of course, the actual timing of the birth of Christ, you know, is a little different than, you know, December 25th. That's actually the celebration of winter, right in the middle of the winter. But, you know, the thing of it is that that's a tradition. And the only reason I look at Christmas, you know, is because the name of Christ is lifted up and people look at him as salvation. But see, the scripture doesn't tell you to keep his birth. It tells you to remember his death. And that's what we do when we take communion. We remember his death. He says, this do ye as oft as you will in remembrance of me. We remember what he did. Remembering his birth is okay. And that is a tradition for many people. But that's not what saved you. What saved you was him on the cross and his atonement. So enough of that. Let's move on. Leviticus 16. For on that day you shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint, whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office, in his father's stead shall make the atonement, shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. Now see, so you have the atoning priest. You have the priest that's going to make the atonement. And then, of course, you got the atoning sacrifice. And, of course, the sacrifice is who loses the blood, and that gets spread. And so Christ fulfilled both the atoning priest and the atoning sacrifice. For he was the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. In Leviticus, let me look at this here. This is quite long here. And I don't really want to start that. I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to take a look at this a little bit more. You know, I think one of the biggest things we have in America today and the world is this denial, you know, that God is holy and that the world's going to stand in judgment. And you see, that's when we look at the coming of the Dark One. And when he rises up, you know, he's going to make war against the Christians, the believers. He'll also make war against the Jews, and he's always done that, and make it against Israel. But the fact of the matter is, in Romans chapter 11, you know, it talks about God not being done with Israel. And there is that point in there when everything is in the midst of this tribulation, that there's a greater war against the Christians. There's a war against the Jews in Jerusalem. There is the nations surrounding Jerusalem. There comes a time in there, of course, when you have the two witnesses that are there that God appointed. These are old Jewish Testament type prophets. And they will do miracles and signs and call down judgments on the world, and it'll make the world mad at them. The devil will try to kill them, but won't be able to for a long time. And then they'll finally, he'll overcome them, and they'll lie in the street for 3 days and three nights. Now, you know all that. But in here, you're going to find where God will open up through all this chaos. He will open up the true redemption for Israel, that he will bring them to himself, that they will finally, you know, this, and the times of the Gentiles have to come to an end, which they are coming to an end, and they'll be finally come to an end when we have the greater Son of David, our Lord, on the throne in the millennium. But he would have already put the times of the Gentiles down long before he gets to that stage. And of course, this is exactly what happens when they all gather in Armageddon. Now see, what this whole thing is over the atonement, it's over salvation, because the biggest thing the enemy does when he comes, and Paul points this out in 2 Thessalonians 2, is that they're going to reject the love of the truth. The love of the truth is everything we've been talking about tonight. And that is that the Lord became the atoning sacrifice. He is the atoning priest. He is the one that did the sacrifice. And, you know, it's that whole thing that we believe in the gospel, what the gospel is. And they're going to reject that. And so the enemy is going to put up a substitute redemption in that. And, of course, for his part, it's going to be the mark, and it's going to be, and when you take that mark, you're going to be believing on him, and that'll damn your soul for sure. But see, this is the battle, and this has always been the battle. The battle to reduce man's dependent on God's salvation, to reduce the effect of the gospel or do away with it totally. There are entire legions of evil angels that fell following Lucifer. And they haven't gone anywhere. They're still there. Their time of damnation and destruction is coming. And these things will do anything to deceive you, to screw you up, to get you in a wrong direction. And there's also a time when there's evil angels that's been locked up in the pit for a time to be released, when they would come out and kill a third of mankind. This is when the armies of the East move. But see, if you look at ISIS and the power that they had and how they swept through the Middle East, you know, add, you know, 100 times that, and you'd get the idea what this Army of the East is going to be like. Because when that Army of the East moves, you're going to see massive nuclear weapons used. There's going to be death and destruction like you've never seen. And see, this is the battle that hell is going to put on in order to destroy mankind. Now see, it's not just the devils that are doing it. Make no mistake. These devils, these evil angels, appear to men. And there are men and women and even children around the world that look for these angelic type creatures. And they appear as an angel of light, but they're evil as all get out. Now, there was a story that came out, and actually it was it happened some time ago, and the only reason I know about it is that Amazon had it as a documentary, and it had to do with some Seventh-day Adventists who had gotten kind of messed up, and they ended up with these angelic creatures that appeared to them. And to make a long story short, you know, people ended up getting murdered and threats. I mean, it's a horrifying story. But these angelic creatures are just that. They appear as angels and angels of light. And these people said that when these angels appeared, especially the chief one, they said he would look just like we would think the Lord would look. And so they were totally deceived. But there was some, when you watch it, there are little hints in there as to, you know, this is wrong. But you see, if that can happen there, and make no mistake about it, you don't go seeking after things like that. When you go wandering off into the spirit realm, you need to have the Lord and his blood over you, his covering, in order not to be deceived. And you need to be alert, and you need to be aware spiritually through the Spirit of God. Now, see, this is where this end time comes in at, and this is also where, as we're talking about Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is that point right now to where the Jews are keeping it, and as they have since the commandment was given. But there's coming a time when they're going to come to the realization that there is another fulfillment. Now, in the process of all this, the enemy is going to be coming up with his own savior and his own way, which is going to deceive the world, and they're going to follow it. Now, see, you don't understand how much of a mess this is going to be and how confusing for people. See, because everybody talks about Jesus. Everybody talks about him coming in the clouds. Everybody talks about all the light and all the rest of this stuff. And we have a lot of people that have a lot of different doctrines. But if you're not firm in Christ, firm in that blood, firm in your faith, firm in your belief, you're going to be deceived. And this is exactly what the devil is banking on. And that's why when we talk about Yom Kippur and talk about the feast, we keep them because we want to. They're shadows and types. But make no mistake, Yom Kippur was fulfilled by Yahshua, Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to get an atonement today, and that is through the shed blood of Christ. And the only reason you can even ask God to forgive you is because you have believed on him, and his blood washes you clean. God accepts that because you have faith and you believe, because that is what we call the law of faith. And the law of faith says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now see, that's the law of faith. If you don't have faith, you're not going to please God. And you're not going to get to him just because you just say a little prayer. You got to believe and receive. Now, living in the end times where we're at today, we live in a pagan society today. We live in a society where even Christians are pagans. And many of them will do things that are not good. You know, they will get into Eastern mystic type of practices. And all of these, in some of the deeper meditations of yoga and stuff, they're trying to perfect the third eye. That third eye, when that comes in, is a demon. And if you're a Christian and you're practicing some of this stuff, you're opening yourself up to possession, not redemption. And see, we do not know this in our churches in America. And the reason we don't know a lot of this is because we cast out the law a long time ago. Now, I'm not saying you're justified by the law, but I'm telling you, God gave the law and he gave it for a reason. And that is to educate you, to let you know things. For instance, there is that Bema seat up there that the pastor is anointed to preach from. But we have churches today that allow uncircumcised, godless people to preach from. And I know churches that allow imams into their church to preach. That is totally defiling that Bema seat. And of course, what that does is defile the church, and it defiles those that hear them. And see, we live in America where we have this Christianity that is a soft soap Christianity that has thrown out the law, that has thrown out the foundational things that the apostles have taught. And, you know, they're going hither and yon with all kinds of weird, idiotic, immoral, godless doctrines. And we have them today. And I could sit down here and tell you some of them that they shouldn't be doing, but they're doing. And so, when we talk about Yom Kippur, we look at Yeshua, we look at Jesus. We don't look at some Jewish high priest, you know, conducting the Day of Atonement, or dealing with the scapegoat. All these are shadows and types. They pointed forward, and Christ has already come, and it's over with and fulfilled now. So we look at this stuff, and we see this is what he did. And see, this is also the time when Satan rises up. God help us. And all of his deceptions. And people don't realize that on the other side, these entities, you can't tell the difference between the good ones and the bad ones. You can't, as a human, just sitting here. Because they look alike. They can appear as angelic, and they can appear as gods. And if you're ignorant or foolish in sin, you're going to be deceived. But once they start leading you, then they've got you. And that's why when you get in the atonement and you understand who the atoning sacrifice is, who is the high priest today? Yeshua is through the order of Melchizedek. And what is the atonement? That blood, that atoning blood of Christ that was shed on the cross, fulfilled the law. There is no other protection. And if anything Yom Kippur says, it says, this is the protection. Now, I can tell you as far as dedication, though, you know, there are a lot of Jews very, very dedicated to the law, dedicated to the word, dedicated to what they believe, and they keep it perfectly. Paul kept it perfectly. But he said he didn't know the Lord. He said everything he did ignorantly. Now, you see, you think about this. The Lord was there doing miracles and preaching and teaching, and Paul would have heard him. Because he, let's put it this way, the Lord dealt with the Sadducees, dealt with the Pharisees, dealt with the Sanhedrin, and even dealt with the high priests. And it was those in power of his day, hierarchy in the church, that didn't know who he was. Now, if the hierarchy of the church in the time of Christ did not know who he was, including Paul didn't know, then what makes you think when the Lord comes back again that the people in your churches today in America and around the world are going to know the Lord when he comes? And I can tell you, I don't know the percentages, but in my guesstimation, they're going to be high, that when he shows up, they won't know him, which also means when the false one comes, they're going to believe that he is the one. Now, see, this is how important knowing what Yom Kippur is, knowing who is the one fulfilling and has fulfilled Yom Kippur, and where you were at. See, for many Christians, it's just about, well, I just ask God to forgive me and that's it. Well, see, I've done extensive studies on the blood end of this, theologically, specifically, and in depth, called blood guilt. All the way from one end of the Bible to the other. And I can tell you absolutely and completely you need to understand that. Because the only way you can get forgiveness is because of that blood. And the only way there can be a day of atonement is because of that blood. This day of atonement would be nothing without that high priest going through the motions and the actual exercise of doing the atoning sacrifices. Would be nothing. And see, the devil would like to keep you totally confused the rest of your life. And I assure you, you don't want that. Not by a long stretch. You know, and I look at that and I think, you know, I just shudder to think, you know, what's going to happen? You know, I look at this world and I look at what's happening in America and I shudder. And see, that's the issue. Do we know? Do we really understand this? So at any rate, we are coming down. We've got a few minutes left. And I think that you know, when I look at this, and when I look at what's coming, you know, I look forward to the Lord coming. But when I read the examples of people, and these were Seventh-day Adventists, and they're not slouches, Seventh-day Adventists. And they really do get in end-time prophecies. But I have seen a number of Seventh-day Adventist preachers and teachers in the prophetic realm who had quite a bit of prophecy that they believed was going to come true, and it didn't come true. And you got to be careful. You got to be so careful in this. And that's why when I discuss prophecy, and I get prophecy out of the Bible, and we talk about it, but I don't get hung up over prophecy. You know, and even if you said, well, an angel told me, Paul warned you that though an angel from heaven would come and bring another gospel where there isn't, but there isn't another gospel, he said, let them be accursed. Let him be accursed. Now, see, Paul's the one said, though an angel from heaven, and Paul nailed it. Because I can tell you that as far as these people were concerned, and they had a whole list of these angelic messengers that showed up. And you can't tell the difference. And I know from personal experience that this thing is not as easy as many of these people in the churches. These people in the church, I remember one woman who said that every Monday the Lord would take her on a vision tour, on a out-of-body experience, and she and the Lord would sit down somewhere in the heavens and discuss things. Every Monday, I think she said. I mean, no, that wasn't the Lord. That was another fake. And see, I've seen a lot of this over the years. Now, see, we want to get into the Word of God, stay in the Word of God, and get our faith where it needs to be and keep it, because you better keep it. Because if you just believe your eyes, you're going to be deceived. You cannot go by your eyes, and you cannot go by the flesh that may get excited. You have to listen to the Spirit of God on the inside. That's why it's important to be truly born again, truly know Him, and have the Spirit of God as well as the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, you may not believe in that, but I'm here to tell you, you better believe, and you better wake up. Because this thing is going to come down. It's coming down. And Yom Kippur, when I read this, I look at, this is what the Lord fulfilled. This is important. And so we do this to remember what God did do before and what He's doing now. Because all of this looks forward. Now see, we who have this newer covenant, we are looking forward too, but we're looking forward to the coming of the greater Son of David, the Lord, who's going to rule and reign, put down all of His enemies. The end is coming one day. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight, for Yom Kippur, for what it means. Touch Your people. Help them to understand, Lord God. Give them wisdom and knowledge, Lord. Give them ears to hear. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Well, going through this makes me think that, you know, I think of the beginning of wisdom, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and how careful we have to be and to guard our salvation.
That's right. That's true.
It could be, you know, you just can't take this stuff lightly. You can just be led astray so easy if you're not careful and don't keep in there with the Lord and His word and praying and seeking Him.
Yep, that's true. Absolutely. Well, we've come to an end, folks. We're going to have to say goodnight.
Oh, already? Okay, well, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. Guard your hearts through Jesus Christ. And God bless you. Thank you for all you do for Him.
Shalom, everybody. We'll see you next week. This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network.